Well, good morning, everybody. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3 is where we're going to start this morning. Colossians chapter 3, we'll go ahead and read there real quick. We'll start in verse 15. And Paul writes here, he says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this chance that we can be together this morning. Lord, I thank you for the blessing that we have to know your word, to have that ability that we have to look into your word and to find truth in it. Lord, I thank you for the teachings that we are able to receive through the study of it, Lord. And the wisdom that we can gain from that, Lord. I just thank you for the perfect plan that you have for us, Lord. The plan that you have for us to come to the knowledge of the truth, so that we might be added to the kingdom and to be with you in your glory forever. Lord, I just pray that you are with us this morning as we study these scriptures, Lord, that we might be open to what you are saying to us, Lord. I pray that you be with me as I speak this morning, that the words that you would like me to say come there, Lord, and that we can be encouraged and edified together. Lord, I just thank you for your love for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's one of them things, we hear all the time. Our society wants the world wants to talk about all the time. They want to talk about having peace. Everybody wants to have world peace, and to have that. Nobody wants to have the endless wars and all that stuff. And it goes beyond just a physical battle, but it goes into having just the idea of a peaceful life that everybody wants, and they're always talking about and pushing the idea of peace on earth and stuff like that, and that's just something that is just not you're not going to find that in the worldly aspect. I'm not saying that we can't have times where there's not war and things like that. We can't have times where there's not conflict. We can't have times that there's not factions among different people in different parts of their life, but there's to have true and total peace. I don't think ever comes from anything but God, and I don't think that we can. I don't think that there's a person that isn't a part of Christ that can ever fully understand that. I was having a conversation with a guy this week. Over at Peaks, I had a lot of good conversation over there with some guys, and the idea we were talking about, people who are claim to be atheists and agnostics and that type of people, and people will claim those things, but I think if you actually got them to fully admit it, I don't think that they have any peace in that thought. I think it's more so that they just don't want to think about it. This particular guy I was visiting with, a family member, claims to be an atheist, and he asked him. He said, "Hey, doesn't it bother you that you could go to hell? That's something that could happen? Like, doesn't that scare you?" And he said, "No, I don't think about that stuff. I just try not to think about that." And so in my understanding and from my perspective and the people that I've known that have claimed that, I don't think that they're ready for death. I think they're absolutely scared of death, scared to death of death. But I think that they just don't think about it. And so I don't think that they have peace in their stuff. And I think if you actually got them to admit and to have that conversation, I don't think that they would claim that they have a peace in that thought. Because I think that they actually, when you get down to it, I think that everybody believes that there's a scary place after life. And I think that people will try to come about and act like there's not, act like they don't believe that, but I think that they do. And so You know, when you think of worldly people, and you think of them trying to have peace and push this idea, I don't think that that's the something that we will ever obtain without knowing Christ. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, just back up a few pages in your Bible. I think Doris turned the air conditioner on again today. It feels kind of nice and chilly in here today, so thank you. I appreciate you, Doris. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, I think that looking at this scripture, I think that this sums up pretty well the idea that peace comes from God. You know, there's been quite a few things in my life where I don't understand. I don't understand why that happened, or you know, you have the old thought of why does God allow things to happen like this and stuff like that. I think that we've all looked back. We could probably all say that we've lived through those times where that thought could have come across, whether we thought that or not. But I think that we all have had circumstances in our lives, and know people who have circumstances in their lives who might look at these situations and just not understand why. But you see, it's not so much the understanding of why in those things, as we read about in this verse, but it's the peace that we have in Christ that surpasses the understanding. And sometimes we aren't going to know why, but we're going to know that through Christ He has a plan, that He has an ability to turn all things into good things and to have good come out of different situations, and that we can have that trust in Him, knowing that no matter what happens to us in this life, no matter what we do in this life, that we have that peace and that understanding of knowing that He has done what He's done, and He has allowed us to be a part of His family, that we might have the peace within the storm, the peace within the battle, peace within the war. You know, I think about and I watch I like watching action movies and you know, war movies and battle movies and stuff, and Jane and I recently watched a movie that had a lot of fighting in it, and the good guy, I guess he was ultimately end up being the good guy, I guess. One thing that he never allowed in all of the battles that he went about and went through, he never allowed emotion to be something that overtook him. He never got excited. He never got overwhelmed with any of the situations, because he had the training and the belief and just the understanding that he was going to conquer these battles ahead of him. And I think that a big part of that was that he was a person that in each and every situation there, he had an understanding that you know, he had a peace about him, knowing that he had done the right things, that he had put himself in position to overtake these things. It was never a thought about you know, about losing or dying or doing any of that stuff, because he had an understanding that it wasn't he had a peace about himself and a calmness about himself that never allowed himself to get distracted, that understood that it didn't necessarily matter why the things were happening, what the things were happening, but that he just kept pushing forward through the trials. Let's turn over to John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. Come on. And Jesus here is speaking to his disciples, and He's telling them that that he is gonna go away. And let's start in verse 25. It says, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Now, if we look at the context of this, Jesus is going to tell him he's going away, but he's going to send the Helper. And if we understand that what he's talking about there, he's talking about sending his Holy Spirit after he dies and ascends to heaven. He's going to send his Holy Spirit back to live within them, to help them. And the idea with that, from my understanding and thinking about it, is that we can't have peace. We can't have peace in any aspect of life and calmness and confidence or any of that without having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I think that what Jesus is saying here is like, hey guys, yeah, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you this Helper. And if you continue down through into a couple chapters later and into some stuff there, it talks about some more. But the peace I leave with you, he says after that. And I think that what he's saying there is hey, you know, things can be scary and things can be rough and whatnot, but Jesus is leaving something for us that gives us that hope eternal, that gives us that state of a mindset that we don't have to worry all the time. And I think that when you get to a point where you don't have to worry all the time, that you have that confidence in Christ, you have that confidence that he is going to take us back with him when he returns, I think that we can understand that we can live and lead a peaceful life. Let's pump back to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, let's go ahead and start. Let's just start in the first verse. It says, "In that day the sun will be sun in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts and secure for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. The one that remains faithful, the steadfast of mind, thou wilt keep in perfect peace. But he trusts in thee. Trust the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock." When you think about building a house or building any type of a structure or building a fence or anything like that, there's always a solid point that you have to build off, right? I mean, if we go and we built a fence and we put all the steel posts, we build a barbed wire fence, put all the steel posts and put all the wire and all the clips on, and then later we set the ties, you're going to have a hard time setting those corner posts. You're going to have a hard time making that fence good and tight and strong because you don't have a solid foundation that you start off of. And I think that we can look at a lot of different spots and we understand that Jesus is that cornerstone, that chief cornerstone in which we're being built together and built upon. But I think that we think about that, it's like we always have that firm foundation, that something to fall back upon. I was recently talking to a buddy of mine, a coaching friend of mine, and we were visiting about a World Series baseball a game here a few years ago. I'm trying to remember who the teams were, but both managers were very veteran managers. I think one was in about 65 or something, and one was well into his 70s. They were both elderly managers that had been managing the game for a long time, and they both had relatively young teams. And something that was stated throughout the whole time during this deal is they were talking about how these young guys can sometimes get the highs and the lows of the game and get emotional and get into those things. And kind of get worked up and maybe allow the moment to be bigger than it is. And every time they would fan to the coaches with the camera, No matter if it was a crazy moment happened in the game or something bad happened for one team or good happened for the other team, you looked at those two managers and both of them were very, very calm. They never let much emotion show. They were just kind of straight-faced going about their work. And I remember an interview with a couple of the players after one of the games. He said, you know, we just every time something would kind of happen, we'd look down to coach, and he would just be that calm presence in the dugout, setting the tone that nothing was too high, nothing was too low. We didn't get, you know, nothing bothered him. He was calm all the time, and that kind of set the tone for the young guys to have that ability. And I think that as we you know, bring it back into a spiritual mindset. You know, I think that sometimes we can get caught up in the highs and we can get caught up in the lows, but no matter what, we can always look back and we can always look to Christ. And He's that calm, steady, steadfast, solid, calm rock that we can look at and be like, man, we have this. He's here with us and He is helping us do this stuff. And nothing's too big, nothing's too small, He's seen it all. And we can fall back on Him and have Him be that presence for us. He can be that person that we can fall back to and have help us through the situation. And I think as we look into this theme, into this verse here in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, the steadfast of mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in thee. Trust the Lord forever. For verse 4, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. We have that everlasting rock. Sometimes, you know, the old saying that you're between the rock and the hard place. But the nice thing is that the rock is Christ, and the hard place has no ability to conquer that. Let's bump ahead back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's start in verse 3 for some context. For what the law could not do, weak as it was, through the flesh, God did, sending His Son, His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who walk according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are in according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now verse 6 here says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, and the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. You see, the physical mind is set on death. The spiritual mind is set on life and peace. Something that the spiritual mind that we have, when we understand what Christ has done for us, we can have that everlasting peace that no matter what happens to us in this world, that we have that peace and understanding that at all times God is there and He's going to take us home with Him. He will take us home with Him if we are faithful with Him. And that is a peace that we can have that surpasses all of the knowledge that we could ever think that we needed to know. Because we know this part. We know that Christ is there for us. We know that He has given us that ability to come to Him. We know that He has given us the teaching. We know He's given us the Word and the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to go through that and to understand things. And we know that if we are faithful with Him, He will always be faithful to us. And that it brings about a peace no matter what's going around in our lives, no matter what's happening around us, knowing that will always help us be a conquerors. Will always help us be more than what we thought we could. Will always help us have that peace within the storm, that calm within the storm. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start verse 12. It says, for even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all immersed into the body, into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. One of the things that I think that helps us through all of the tough times is the understanding that we are made one with each other and with God, that He has given us that Spirit, that we've all been made into that new creature, that new creation, that new man, and the old person is put to death, and that we have that new inner man inside of us, that Christ has died, and he has ascended to heaven, that He is sitting on His throne, and He has sent His Spirit back for us. And we've all become part of this one body, this one family, this oneness with other Christians and with Christ. Verse 14 says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body,' it is for this reason any less part of the body. If the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less part of the body." Sometimes we can think, okay, well, we're not doing this, we're not doing this, maybe we're not part of that, maybe we're not part of this. Guys, we are part of the body. Christ has made us part of that, and He has given us the ability to be with Him forever. And no matter whatever happens in this earth, we have that understanding that He will take us home. And that He has given us that Spirit to help us to overcome and to be conquerors, to come with Him, and to have that understanding that we absolutely know and have full confidence that He will take us home. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Let's start in verse. Let's go ahead and start verse 13. It says, "For He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by Him for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in the fleshly body through death, in order that you may present, that He may present, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." He has done all of those things. He is the beginning and the end. He's the man the guy that created everything, and he created everything, was created by Him and for Him, and he is understood that at one time we were evil and we are engaged basically enemies of Him. But through Him, He sent down in verse 20, through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. At one time, we had no peace with God. We were actually enemies of God, and we were at war with God. But He has given us an opportunity that we might be reconciled to Him, and He has created that ability for peace with us. With us and for us, that we might be with Him forever. See, there's no peace in the world. There isn't. Whether we can take two things. We can take the United States and we can take China. Okay, so they could go to war and they could have all this stuff and one could win, but that's not peace. You see, peace is the reconciliation of those things, the reconciliation and the oneness made with us in Christ. We were at one time at war with Christ, and he did not take the opportunity to kill us to win the war. Instead, he died himself, making the opportunity for us to be at peace with him and no longer at war with him, giving us the opportunity to receive his Holy Spirit and come into the knowledge of the truth and come into his kingdom and be one with him. So we could have that oneness, so that we could have that everlasting hope of being with him forever. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Let's start in verse. Let's start in verse 12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule within your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing you with one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making thankfulness within your hearts to God. And whatever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We can go through this stuff and we can understand different things. See, Christ gave us word, and if you go back and listen to Kirk's message, he talked quite a bit about different things like this, about the word of Christ and the authority that it had and how people have feelings and have all this stuff. But if you go and you actually look at the word and have the understanding there and the Spirit helping us understand that stuff and helping us to become different people and to be better people, we can have that. We can grow into having that understanding. Now, I understand, okay, so there's going to be different times where we have doubt. There's going to be different times where maybe that thought in the back of your head is a little tough, or nobody really is like, man, I really, really hope that I die today. You know, we can have a desire to be with him in heaven, but nobody wakes up and is like, man, I hope I get in a car wreck. Like we can have fear of those type of things. We can have fear of different stuff like that. But we can also, alongside of that, overcoming that a little bit, we can have the understanding that even if that, we can wake up in the morning and say, even if today is the day, we can have that understanding that because Christ has done what he's done, we can have a peace about us going through this day, that this might be our last day, but that no matter what happens in this day, that we will be with him forever. And there's nothing in this world, there's no amount of not thinking about it, no amount of just worldly happiness that you can have that can take that part and overcome it and be greater than that thought. They can be greater than the thought that you could wake up in the morning and say, this could be my last day, but that's okay if that's what happens. And having the ability to live that out and to have that mindset will bring a peace among you that is greater than anything this world can offer. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read a quick section here, but keep your finger here because we're going to come back. Verse 7 again, it says, And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hold there. Turn back to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It reads here, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" You know, we live in a society and in a world that tells us all the time that the best way to happiness and all that stuff is to follow your heart. And maybe this doesn't really tie in today. We'll see if we can make it tie together. But to follow the heart. And I can't remember even now, right now, off the mind, it might have been Mr. Miller who went to this stuff this weekend and talked about this a little bit. But the heart is deceitful. You see, we can say, okay, let's follow our heart and let's follow our feelings, let's follow our emotions and do all this stuff. But that's not going to give us anything. It's not going to give us happiness. Because all it's going to do is we can follow the emotion that we have and the heart in that and we can go and we can have that instant amount of pleasure and that instant amount of you know, that instant gratification that we're happy for a moment. But no matter what, eventually that will always wear off if that's as deep as it goes. The heart is deceitful. But it was read back about here in Philippians chapter 4. It says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, guard your hearts and your minds." You see, if we have that peace with God, and we have that understanding that of all things, that we are with Him, that He has that ability to take care of all of the stuff, and we don't have to worry about this stuff, we don't have to have that anxiousness and that anxiety about different stuff, that we have that ability to have the calmness about us, knowing that what Christ has done for us is enough. It's going to surpass the need to understand things, but it's also going to protect us and keep us from allowing that emotional high to change the course. But if we stay steady and we understand that with Him and following His teachings and being obedient to Him, that we can be steadfast for a long time. It's not an up and down deal that fades away. It will always be there. The Holy Spirit indwelling us, taking care of us and helping us in those trials and those temptations and the tough times and the sad times and the greatest, you know, tough stuff that the world can throw at us. If we understand and have the understanding that no matter what, we are God's and that He is there for us because He said He's going to be there for us because we are obedient to Him, all of those other things will not matter. And we'll be able to continue in the fight with a peace about us, understanding that what is there is deep. What is there is stronger than any emotional thing or any physical thing that this world can throw at us. But that if we have that spiritual mindset and that understanding of Him, we can live this life through all the trials with a greater peace than anyone can imagine in a worldly mind. And we can have that all the way through eternity with Him. So let's go about and let's live our lives understanding that whatever happens today, God's going to take care of us if we're faithful to Him. And that's what needs to happen. So I encourage you today to do that.